Do your children have questions about the Bible? Let them come through on Kids Perspective on Adventist World Radio SID Media on the second Friday of every month to ask their questions. Text us on +27 73 470 3520 for a spot on the show. Adventist World Radio SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media. Tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's right, you tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on SID Media. Ah, folks, what a lovely lesson, lovely music that we heard. You know, it has honestly been a lovely time to fellowship with one another here on AWR, powered by SID Media. And essentially, we're going to be getting into our next segment, and I do apologize for maybe the slight repetition here. We are going to be talking about revenge once again with Elder Brian, and basically talking about how God says revenge is mine. We'll just be expanding a bit more on that. So on the line, we're going to be joined by Elder Brian, and hopefully we'll be able to discuss more further into our daily focus and just debunk some of those misconceptions that we may have around it. How are you doing today, Elder Brian?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us here on AWR, powered by SID Media.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. It's a privilege, and greetings to you and greetings to the listeners.
Thank you very much. So essentially, you and I are going to be talking about revenge and how revenge, or God rather says revenge is mine. And this is going to be like our focus mainly. And essentially what our theme has been for this week is revenge is so sweet. Well, isn't that true for many people out there? Please let us know just before on in your context of what revenge can do to a person. Please give us just a little bit of context as to what revenge is to begin with.
Great. Thank you so much. So I look at revenge as a premeditated, pre-planned action on somebody that has done you wrong. And I say premeditated because you take time to plan on what you are going to do to someone, because they definitely hurt you, they injured you, and now you want to do something to help them as well. And so you take time to plan, you put up a few things, and in the long run, I'm sure we'll get there in time, but in the long run, you realize that you grow this hatred for someone, you grow this anger against someone, and you intend that when opportunity presents, you equally hate them, perhaps even more than they hate you. That's what I would call revenge.
So looking at the broader aspect of revenge itself, you know, and how often it seems to be something that we take into our own hands, even though God is already fighting battles for us that we don't even see on a daily basis. How do we then choose to truly leave it up to God? Practically, that
Yeah, I think that's a very difficult question, because you see, God is a merciful God. And that's a problem with me, a human being, because if you have hurt me, I need to see you hurt. then my heart will be at peace. But see, I always say, let's begin from the beginning. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Cain kills Abel, right? And God sets a mark on Cain's forehead so that nobody can revenge on Cain what he did to Abel. And he says that whoever hurts Cain, then my anger will be kindled against him. And I have a problem with that. It seems that God is protecting the people that have hurt us. And if people heard that Cain has killed Abel, definitely when they meet Cain, they are going to kill him. But the question I ask myself is, what if the person you are hurting or you plan to hurt or the person you're angry with has already put things right between themselves and God? And that becomes a big question. So you are hurting or you are revenging on God's child. God has forgiven them. They have forgiven themselves. And yet you are the one who has not forgiven them. So biblically, this is why God says, vengeance is mine, because I am the one who knows to what extent this soul has gone in amending their ways. Whether you see that they have changed or not, God is the all-knowing God who can see if the soul has repented. And that is why he says, leave it to me, because I know if the soul has repented. You end up shedding innocent blood because I have blotted the iniquities from my records, and you are still holding on to that grudge. But you see, that's a problem. And it calls for complete surrender. If one has hurt you, we'll talk about this on another day. If one has hurt you, perhaps the first step is forgiveness. And really, that's a whole topic on its own. But I think why God says vengeance belongs to him, he knows how to repay. And the reason why he knows how to repay is he repays rightly. Just because they hate you doesn't mean they will die or they will be. Somebody said life is not a Nigerian movie. The people that hate you will eventually. The people that hate you won't suffer. The people that rejected you won't suffer. No. And somebody also said, God is not from your village. That the person who hates you will definitely suffer the wrath of God. And the biggest question is, what if they have repented?
Now that's a difficult statement, you know, to really take in, especially in circumstances where we're looking at, just to be fair, okay, if someone were to lie to me, forgiving is much simpler, you know. If someone were to perhaps commit adultery, maybe that might be also much simpler for me, you know. But now we're looking at situations where a bombing occurred, or genocides, or horrible things of violating women, and we're talking about the ill of the world and it being right in your face, not necessarily a distant person you do not know, but a person you know did these things to you, and you proceed to see them around. Excuse me, sir, elder, tell me how do we practically just say, you know what, God has forgiven him, or he has gone on this journey, or God will take vengeance, especially when we start to see them progress further and further more in life.
Exactly. And you see, just adding on to your thought, they are progressing in life, and yet you are still struggling because of what they did to you a couple of years
ago. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that also is on us. I will say that forgiveness is for us, right? That's always something I've learned, that, you know, forgiveness is not necessarily about the other person, but it's about, you know, learning to let go of that so that you can be okay. But apart from that, we're talking about a crime now, and it has gone unpunished, unjustified. What are we doing?
Exactly. And I must agree that this is a hard conversation to have. And really, as humans, we cannot get there. So that's why I'd say that the first place is to decide whether, I'm saying this with all fear and trembling, that if it's to decide whether you are a Christian or you're not. Exactly. If you are God's child or you're not, you have to decide. There's no in between, because forgiveness is only for God's children. And this comes with total and complete surrender. I'll ask a question. When Jesus was dying on the cross in pain, they are beating him up, he's bleeding. He gathers strength and says, "Forgive them, Father,
for they
do not know what they are doing." Is it true they didn't know what they were doing?
They were very much aware.
They were aware of what they're doing, that even on the cross they went and still pierced his side, even when he's already dying. But he says, "Look, Father, this is beyond them. If it was really them that I created, they wouldn't do this." The same context comes into the prodigal son. The Bible says after he spent everything, he says when he came back to himself, the same thing that Jesus says on the cross, they don't know what they are doing. The prodigal son left himself. It wasn't himself. When he came back to himself, he returned to his father. Remember Joseph. Now the issue of forgiveness is very big. When Joseph is established in Egypt and his brothers come and he recognizes them, of course, we'll talk about this on the healing aspect the other day.
Right.
But after he comes around, he heals, he cries it out, he comes around, he tells them, "I have forgiven you." Ideally, what I would do is, "I have forgiven you, go back to Israel and never show your face again in Egypt. I'll be sending you food in Israel." But he says, go and bring your entire family. I want to live with you. We will eat from the same table." As in, "I remember how you sold me. I remember how you threw me in a pit. I remember how you betrayed me. I remember how you backstabbed me. I'm now in a position of authority, and I have an advantage. I can do with you as I please. I can lock you up. Nobody will question why I have locked you up. In fact, I can command that you are hanged." But he says, "No, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And I see that Joseph is God's child. He has completely surrendered whatever happened to him as God's dealings. And this is where it becomes very difficult, but also becomes very important to realize that in as much as they hate us and we have surrendered it into the hands of God and we agree that vengeance belongs to God, we need to surrender and let go of it. It's quite impossible as humans. But when we have decided that we are Christians, I think we are headed somewhere.
Hey, you know this Christianity thing, guys. Don't pick it if you are not ready for it, okay?
Exactly.
Because it is quite a very intense game that you are in. It's not even a game. It's real life. It's your salvation. It's hectic, this thing you're discussing right now. But let's just, slowly come to a close on this conversation, because we're going to continue with it throughout the week. But what does the Bible define revenge as? And what does he tell us to do with it?
Well, number one, the Bible, in context, if you look at the whole theme, the consistency of the theme in the Bible, various scriptures clearly tell us that revenge is not ours. I think I had mentioned this in the preamble that it is not ours. I gave an example of Cain. That's Genesis chapter 4. You read downwards, getting to 15 up to 20. That he tells them that whoever lays hands on Cain, vengeance shall be taken on that person seven times. Because people want to hate Cain for what he did. And that's understood. That's justifiable. But God says, if you lay your hands on Cain, whatever you do to Cain, I'll do it to you seven times. So from the beginning, from Genesis, he puts it clear, it's not in your hands. Hmm. That is why even the laws of the land now say you cannot take the law into your own hands. Hmm. Yes, it's revenge, you're ahead, but you're taking the law into your own hands. We will lock you up for taking the law into your own hands. So he says that vengeance belongs to me. That's in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. He says that vengeance is for the Lord's, not ours. Because when we begin to take the law into our own hands, we will hate each other. Mm. Because there's no stopping with vengeance, you get.
There is no.
If you hurt
me, it's a cycle.
I'll make sure I hate you. I'll not be satisfied. I want to hate your family as well. Because when I see you, I see your family. I see you in your family. So I want to clear everybody so that I'm okay. Psalm 94 verse 1 says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. It belongs to God. It's not up to us. Otherwise, we will mess up. Mm.
Well, that was a mouthful, but Elder Brian, thank you so much for joining us for the start of our conversation, and we'll get furthermore into it throughout the course of this week. I will be standing in for Zanele Zama, so we'll just be continuing talking until Friday. But thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope that you have a blessed one.
Thank you very much. I will see you tomorrow and have a great day too.
Lovely. Now, that was Elder Brian on the line, just giving us an interlude into what we're going to be discussing in our weekly focus here, being Revenge is Sweet. And right now, we're just going to have a little bit of music. And when we come back, we're going to be getting into our devotion. And that will be by Pastor Kaliza. And just stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.